The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs going for history in Super Bowl 59, but will they get an assist from the officials? That was a big topic yesterday as Roger Goodell did his annual press conference. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're here in New Orleans. And Perloff, I'm sure this is not what the NFL wants. They don't want a conversation about whether the Chiefs are getting favorable calls. But, you know, listen, we're on across the country. We talk to football fans every single day. This is a topic that is on their minds, wondering not just if the games are on the level. I think we all believe that. But whether or not the Chiefs do get some extra home field advantage when it comes to calls and just a little home cooking.
Well, you keep saying home like it's only an Arrowhead. They ran through last year's playoffs, and the Super Bowl is always a neutral site. This is their, fifth Super Bowl? So, I don't think people think it's an Arrowhead thing. I think people think it's a Chiefs thing. You think it's an Arrowhead? I'm trying to think. People don't make that connection because they're winning everywhere.
That's true, but in terms of some of the more questionable calls, let's just take one of the most recent ones, the Buffalo Bills and that 4th-and-1 call where two officials spot the ball at a different place, right? These are judgment calls ultimately until we get some better technology. And you said it and I agreed with you. If that had been in Buffalo, I think they give Josh Allen the first down. Now, I don't know if they win the game, but I do think the drive continues and then we see what happens. It was in the fourth quarter in a tie game. So I think that the Chiefs are benefiting from what a lot of teams benefit from, which I do think is a home field advantage that exists because referees are human and we know that they tend to go towards the home crowd.
I don't think that's it. I really don't.
Okay, what do you think it is?
I mean, I think it's star treatment for Patrick Mahomes. I'm trying to think of big games. They've had so many that weren't at Arrowhead. Like all the Super Bowls, I felt like there was. I wish I had more specifics. I felt like they definitely didn't get hurt by the officials in the San Francisco game. I know there was a key play at the end where there was an obvious hold that they just let go. I don't know. I just don't think. I think it's more than home cookie, and we're talking about the public perception.
Yeah.
I don't think people perceive it that way. Do you think that? I don't think people are talking to Goodell because maybe you're right and it only is an Arrowhead advantage, but I think the idea out there among the most of the football public is they get the calls everywhere.
855-212-4227. We're in New Orleans, but of course we can still take your phone calls on this topic. And you know, we put a poll out there earlier today at M&P on X, and we asked you, do you think the Chiefs benefit from an officiating bias? And 74% of you say yes. Now, the questions are why. And yeah, you can just say star calls from Patrick Mahomes, but there's a lot of stars in the league, right? And Josh Allen does get calls, and I think Lamar Jackson gets calls. They do. But one of the things a caller brought up earlier, and I think he nailed it, which is the idea that Mahomes is competing not just with his contemporaries, but all time, whether or not he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback means that the NFL may want to see him always competing at the highest level. Now, I'm not one of these people that thinks Goodell's sitting around in a smoky room sipping on brandy and cigars and saying, haha, we got him again. You know, nothing like that. But maybe there is this sort of unconscious bias sometimes with the referees that hey, the more the Patrick Mahomes, the better he does, the more, I don't know, the better this whole thing gets.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to call out referees in that way. I don't think they're being that sinister on purpose.
But also, there's some other big star quarterbacks. You don't think the NFL wants to see Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson advance to this level and create more stars? If I was writing the script, I might switch it up more. Jalen Hurts is, unfortunately, for whatever reason, because he doesn't throw at a high volume, he's not the kind of star the NFL is going to want to get there. There's nobody saying the NFL is conspiring to get Jalen Hurts at this game. Guy had 2,900 passing yards this year, right?
Right. So I think that's your evidence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evidence, but I don't think any of this is fixed.
No, my point was, I don't think the NFL just looks at it, this as a Mahomes problem. If they were going to conspire, I think they also want to see Josh Allen be a big star. I think they want to see Lamar Jackson be a big star. I think they don't mind new blood. So I guess I'm gutting that theory that it's all about Mahomes. If the NFL because a Taylor probably would pick the Chiefs. But I think at a certain point, the NFL is also going to want to mix it up a little bit, get some new cast members in their film.
For this TV show?
Like, if I'm writing the script, I'm sure that they have studies on this. You know, when they script next year's, if they get the three-peat, great, then they're going to script the Chiefs out of this one, like a pro wrestling scenario, right? Like, eventually, even the most popular champions, Hulk Hogan, got tiring for the WWE. You got to move on. So I'm curious what they're going to write next year.
That's, you say this, and I know you're joking, but there are people out there who are listening who don't think you're joking.
I'm really commenting, like, I don't think this is, like, the NFL needs Mahomes here. I do think that they don't view it. Mahomes is not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the entire lifeblood of the NBA ratings. When he left, that was a huge problem for the NBA. I don't think Mahomes is that kind of figure in the NFL. Like, the teams, the NFL is just built differently.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of gutting this. It's all about Mahomes theory. And honestly, I think the Chiefs fatigue, I wonder, like, how Goodell feels about that. You know, forget bias for a second. Like, do you think this is the ideal matchup for the NFL?
Yes, I do. And I don't know about the Eagles part of it, but I think it does help them. And I think it's fortuitous that they get the Chiefs here because they're going for history. And you're going to have Tom Brady on the call of the guy who, after this game, people might say is better than him. I mean, that's some crazy good drama that you get.
It'll probably be the highest rated Super Bowl ever because last year was the highest.
Yeah, and listen, the NFL is set on world domination. Speaking of the future of the Super Bowl, so yesterday, Roger Goodell, and you can call us, by the way, at 855-212-4227. Chiefs bias, do you think it's real or not when it comes to the officiating? But the other part is, Goodell is not hiding the fact that they want 16 international games. So get your passports ready. Make sure they're up to speed. 16, a full slate, basically, of international games and a permanent franchise in another country soon.
Overseas.
Well, the way that he framed it is, he said, I do think there's potential someday that we're going to have an international franchise. And if we do, I think it would be no surprise at all if the Super Bowl follows and is played there.
That's going to be a heck of an expense report.
Get ready, Westwood One.
Yeah. We're going to Turkey. I don't know where this is going to be.
I mean, I've got to think London's the closest.
And they have the relationship, but I think they like Germany. I think they probably like Spain. They might like Brazil.
They're not going to Brazil. Brazil's a long flight. They're not doing Brazil.
Well, they just did it.
For the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
But no, it's definitely, there's, trust me, the Super Bowl is not going to Brazil.
Okay, it's a long flight from California to London.
Yeah, but it's a long flight from California to Brazil. Brazil's 13 hours from New York. I'm just saying, like.
But the time change isn't the same. See, if you're trying to have a Super Bowl and it's going to be somewhere internationally, we're talking about Roger Goodell talking about the state of the game in terms of going overseas, Brazil or Mexico City or something like that actually makes the most sense, because if you have it in London, what time are you kicking off? You want to kick off in the middle of the afternoon? That's going to be the morning, you know, for us here in America. Or you want to kick off late and then your game's going to not end until 2 o'clock, 2 a.m.
Well, how about, how about 9 p.m. London time, which would be 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
9 p.m. London time. I don't think they want the Super Bowl kicking off at noon in California.
Well, it kicks off at 3 now.
I know, but I think that's different. Anyway, 855-212-4227. So that's why I think Brazil or Mexico City, because the time differences are, you know, they're aligned with our own country.
Yeah. I don't know if Mexico City is, I don't even think they're putting in the application this particular month. You know, obviously, America and Mexico have a lot going on right now.
Yeah, we got a lot going on right now. Maybe this will solve it.
When Goodell talks about this, I think that he's talking about overseas because he really wants to sell shirts all over the world. Mm. That's the key. Like, he needs to expand.
Yeah.
And Brazil makes sense, too. But I do think that Brazil is a challenging trip.
So,
and also, where they go to Australia next year, Asia is a big market they've been trying to get in forever.
Yeah, that's crazy. For as far as a permanent team, but let's get more from Goodell here in terms of the season. You thought it was long now? It's about to be longer. Goodell talking about an 18-game season, so 19 weeks maybe 20 weeks, maybe a double bye if you have 18 games. No formal negotiations yet. Here's Goodell.
We haven't had any formal negotiating sessions about an extension. I'm certain it'll come up in the context of that in some fashion. It is something that Lloyd and I have had informal conversations about, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Okay, so what goes into any decision to go to 18 games, Raj?
We committed in 2011 when we signed a collective bargaining agreement that the players would not only have a say in that, but they would actually be able to prevent it from happening or support it from happening. We were able to do that when we moved to 17 games back in 20.
Okay, more from Goodell saying 18 games could be possible because of all the advancements in player safety. Oh, okay, cut 12, maybe not. That's okay. So he said the base league, oh, let's hear it, Manny.
I think all of those are factors in how do we look at the offseason and how do we look at that with our partners, the players, and try to continue to make advancements in this case. And if we do, 18 and 2 might be a possibility because we know that fans, I think, love football. They want more football, but we have to be incredibly sensitive and smart about the balance and how we deal with that. And I think that's something that I think we're all interested in focusing on, but it hasn't begun yet.
Okay, so there's Roger. 18 games, maybe two byes. Perloff, do you like it?
Yes, I generally like more football, but I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks of the season were brutal, Maggie. So I would not expand it just because what happens when teams get out of the playoffs, obviously, like every sport, they stop trying.
Yep.
So I worry that they have the perfect formula now. I actually would not add an 18th game. And also, that player saves yourself. Give me a break.
I mean, well, you and I are totally in line on this one. Yeah. I would not expand it, and this is our jobs. It would make it much easier for us if we just had football 52 weeks out of the year. It'd be awesome, but I wouldn't do it, especially if you're going to keep the draft the same way, which is just if you have the worst record, you automatically get the top pick. If it was going to be more of a draft lottery and there's less incentive for tanking and stuff like that, maybe, but you're right. The last couple weeks of the season is just sometimes can be embarrassing. And here's the other part. I feel like I'm still watching a lot of backups. I mean, they're trying to keep the quarterbacks as safe as possible. It seems almost like a miracle if a QB actually makes it through a full season.
Well, I mean, it's unintended consequences. You make the rules beneficial for quarterbacks to run and they get hurt more because they run more.
Yeah.
Because the rules help them. And by the way, this safety thing, maybe I did see the report that concussions are down, but it was less than a month ago we saw a Trevor Lawrence in the fencer's pose. Like, this is
scary.
It is, and I honestly think they missed a lot of concussions. There were obvious concussions this year, like obvious ones, especially early in the season. They didn't seem to be super. Whoever the spotter was on vacation in September and October. Yeah. I thought they got very lax with concussion spotting. I think they got a little better later in the year. To me, I felt like they pulled back a little bit. So, of course, the numbers are down.
855-212-4227. So, yeah, some of the big hot-button issues, more games. And here's the thing. They will always get the players to approve this. And the way that they do that is because the entire players' union votes on it. So, yeah, the star players who are making $50 billion a year, they don't want more games, but they'll guys who are making $200,000, $300,000, this is legit money to them.
Yeah.
And totally understand why they would vote for just more. So 18 games and two byes, a franchise going international permanently, and then that franchise hosting a Super Bowl is all potentially in the future, not too distant future. And then also the idea that it's ridiculous that the Chiefs do get favored by the officials.
Yeah, I think there's still more impediments to the overseas team. I mean, if we're talking about Toronto or Mexico City, sure. Right. But I think that they've been talking about this overseas team for a long time now.
I think the pandemic may have had to pull it back a little bit. All of a sudden, we're in this global thing, and
I think
it got put on the back burner because of that.
They've been talking about it for at least a decade and made zero progress in reality.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Also, the Super Bowl thing, like, there are other owners who want a Super Bowl, too. If Chicago does get a stadium made with a dome on it, they're going to want it. I don't think it's as simple, because Goodell has been talking about this forever, since I started covering the NFL.
Again, if you want to weigh in, we are taking calls all week here in New Orleans, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we are going to talk with someone who was making the rounds in this year's GM hiring cycle, and someone who's got a lot of insights, especially into Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp. Both could be on the trade block. Well, Cooper Kupp definitely, Myles Garrett asking for a trade. We get into all that in just moments. It's Maggie and Perloff from Radio Row. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Radio Row in New Orleans. And we're so pleased to be joined by the current president of football operations at Sumer Sports, which is one of the leading analytical companies that provide services and data for so many NFL teams. His name is Thomas Dimitroff. Of course, he was the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons from 2008 to 2020. Before that, six seasons with the New England Patriots. Thomas, it's great to have you back on the set. How you been?
I always love it. You guys are one of my highlights. You guys keep it upbeat, and I love it.
Lie to us, Thomas. Lie to us. Okay, so before we get into some of the stuff you're doing with Sumer Sports, and a very busy last couple months for you personally, interviewing with the Jets for their GM opening, but we find out yesterday, Myles Garrett asking for a trade, Cooper Kupp announcing that the team basically wants to trade him and they want to find a good fit. Let's start with Myles Garrett. If you're a rival GM, you're on the phone in 5 seconds, four seconds, and what's your offer?
Exactly. You're after it, and I think you have to go in there thinking that this is going to be two ones, and it's Khalil Mack-ish, right? It's two ones and maybe a three and maybe something else. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, really? Is that really what happens? He's not a quarterback. I mean, we know how important it is. We know how many mistakes are made with those pass rush guys. Knowing what you have and what you're investing in is a lot easier in my mind to pull that trigger.
If you're the Browns and you do get offers, say the Eagles call you and they say, we'll give you a bunch of picks. The Browns know that pick is going to be 29 or 30 if Myles Garrett is on that team. Is that a big factor of where he ends up going? Because, say, the Bears or the Titans, a team who was behind, calls and says, we'll give you a 2026 pick. Wouldn't the Browns want that team to trade with?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think you go in there trying to be creative and make sure you maximize what you can. But I will tell you, in the back of your mind, when something like this happens, like that's a treacherous situation when your stud is telling everyone that he wants out.
Yeah.
You're like, I just need to get two ones. Like, I don't care where it is. If I have a player in that first round, exactly what you're saying is right. But I know in the end, you start getting nervous and you start saying, well, I'm all right. At one time, I came in thinking I wanted the ninth pick overall. I'm all right with 29. It's probably not the way it's going to play out. But
Thomas Dimitroff is with us. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to fire anybody, but I can't imagine that the guys in Cleveland feel pretty confident about where they stand and whether they're even going to be making these 2026 picks, because it has gone beyond sideways there. The Deshaun Watson contract is an abject disaster. Now your best player is asking out on social media. I mean, this is just your worst nightmare. Yet they hold the second overall pick. That's the one glimmer of hope. Mm. I'm curious if they go quarterback to try to replace Deshaun, and let's say they have their sights on Shedeur Sanders, and you are a former GM, and I'm sure you dealt with maybe not this specific thing. What if Deion gets involved and says, I don't want my son going to a place that kind of has a reputation for being a black hole for QBs?
That's exactly where your head would go on. And again, I mean, there's an argument right now. Okay, is it Shedeur? Where is Cam Ward? Like, who are there one and two? And then, quite honestly, who's the third, right? That's a whole other conversation. Like, where is that guy? That whole idea of Deion's involvement. We all know that Shedeur Sanders has a lot of talent certain ways. There are other ways that he's not, you know, as talented as Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, that's a whole other conversation. The idea of Deion coming and getting involved, it's another one of those pit-of-the-stomach situations for a general manager. Like, the last thing you want to do is go in there and have all of this that's been happening for a while. And Andrew Berry is a smart guy. He's a good person, and he knows what he wants. But this is tough for him, right? This is tough for him and Kevin to try to figure this out. I think they just got new deals, though, right?
Doesn't, since the coaches and GMs don't count against the salary cap, I always feel like at any moment a billionaire owner could say, you know what, whatever, I'll pay him to go away.
You end up talking to Deion, you have really deep conversations with him. That's what you end up doing in my mind. And Deion's got such a presence in this world that it's a legit extra part of things that I think the team that takes Shedeur obviously going to have to be comfortable with that kind of distraction, if that's what you call it. Good guy, of course, we all know Deion, but that's a tough one.
So Ben Johnson took the job with the Bears, and he said the analytics say quarterback play is the most important thing in building an NFL team. So I was wondering, at Sumer Sports, when you look at the numbers, and this is not a strong quarterback class, is there a real argument to overdraft, say, Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart? If you're a team in the top 10, is it okay to take a leap at quarterback, or what would you advise a team? Wait till the second round? Because it doesn't feel like there are six quarterbacks like last year.
No, there aren't. This is not the class from last year in my mind, no question about it. There are some good quarterbacks, but we're not seeing the same, you know, at least at this point. I also had interviewed, as you guys may or may not know, with Tennessee, and I was, in my mind, I was daydreaming, wow, would I ever be involved with the first pick ever? I was involved with the third pick with Matt Ryan, first pick overall. I started daydreaming. I was known as Trader Thomas. I was always a move-up guy. I wasn't a move-back guy, and I started daydreaming about back to 8, 10, 11, 12, get a really, really stout offensive lineman, you know, for that team to work on the right side, get all kinds of trade draft booty. That's a great way to do it. This is a draft to do that, is to answer your question. I just don't know what you do. You know, I know that there are a couple good quarterbacks that will be considered in the top 10. Too many times, and we get 32 GMs right here, right now, raise your hand. How many times we make mistakes because of need, and we overextend our need, and we just get caught up in it.
Thomas Dimitroff is joining us. He's the president of football operations at Sumer Sports. You've been doing this for a while now. You guys have really made a name for yourselves in this industry, and you started it.
Well, it's funny because it's been 3 years. We started with just three of us, the owner and his son and me, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, now we're about 75 strong, and we have probably 45 data scientists and engineers, and we have 25 former general NFL people, 5 former general managers. Like, we have a lot going here. It just, very quickly, subjective, all of our scouting information, and objective. It's a great combination for a third party.
It's fantastic. And, you know, it's funny, you're, you know, working with someone's son is going to be my clunky transition into asking you about your interview with the New York Jets. Because the report came out in The Athletic that Jack and Brick Johnson, the sons of Woody Johnson, maybe getting have a say. It's not the final say, but they are used as a data point on decisions being made with regards to trades and other things. Did you ask about that in your interview? Were they there in your interview? Do you feel like the sons now of Woody Johnson are a presence in the organization in a big way?
I think, being realistic about that, owners and their sons, a father and son, what a cool opportunity to be a part of something together. I get that, right? I was around it with Arthur Blank and his sons. I mean, they were growing. They're a little bit older than Woody's sons.
Yeah,
but
they're teenagers.
Yeah. But the idea of data, I was thinking, I was trying to get my head around it, right? It was Madden they were talking about, right?
Yeah, the Madden rating.
Yeah. Well,
Jerry Jeudy, yeah. Was it? Yeah.
But I think it was brought up for a reason. And when I start thinking about that and being around owners, NFL owners, they are going to listen to their sons and say, well, that's an interesting thought. Maybe I should go ask the general manager or the head coach. And we, as general managers, former general managers, head coaches, say, really, let's not talk about Madden. But there is a reason the Madden data came up. And you could take the Madden data and then go over to Sumer and realize, yeah, it's parallel. It's a data point. And so I'm not defending it, because it's never easy, right? But it is a fact. If you're a general manager, in my case, you have to learn to navigate the route with your owner. And I mean, think about it. I don't know if you guys have kids, but think about it. You want that bond, and I'm not playing dime store psychologist, but what a great way to be involved with your son to say, yeah, let's talk about my football team. And so anyway, that's not an easy answer. I get it.
What about when Giants GM Joe Shane's son on Offseason Hard Knocks said, hey, you should draft that guy, Jaden Daniels? It turned out Joe Shane's son is a future GM. Would you have ever done that Offseason Hard Knocks that the Giants did this year?
Well, we did Hard Knocks, interestingly enough, way back, probably out of mid-2010 or 11. And it was interesting, but I was very much more controlled about it, right? I maybe coming from New England, I just was a little bit more hefty about the paranoia of it all. I remember it was a conversation one time in my office. There were all these speakers and everything. It must have been 5. And I got in a conversation. I got off at 10 seconds later. I ran down the hall, and I opened the doors. I'm like, did you guys get that? It was a horrible conversation. I'm like, no, Thomas, we didn't get it. You weren't on the mode. So you're always paranoid in that. That whole scope of that is
tough.
The
Giants really exposed themselves.
They did. It's easy to do that. I don't know him today if I would ever want to do that again.
I mean, it's literally been a theme for Saquon Barkley all year, because every time he hits another milestone, it's almost like the 1A conversation is, wow, how badly did the New York Giants really screw this thing up? It's like it can't escape it. And here we are at the Super Bowl, and he's the biggest star on a team that's trying to take down a dynasty. Right. Thomas Dimitroff is with us. He's the president of football operations at Sumer Sports. Last one, just want to go back to the Jets for a second, because you did interview with them to be their GM. Did you tell them you would have kept Rodgers, or you would have moved on from Rodgers? What was your pitch to the Jets, and do you think they had an idea of what they wanted to hear?
Yeah, I mean, Maggie, my pitch was, this guy is one of the best to have ever played in the game. I recognize that. I watched a lot of vids on him. When you're preparing for a GM job, you watch inside out on their roster. Aaron Rodgers can still make plays. Aaron Rodgers can still win for a team. Aaron Rodgers can make throws off camber and adjusting and do things that are very special. And I still think it's time for them to move on. And he goes somewhere for another couple years and maybe helps a team, helps develop a guy if he's in that mode. I don't think it should be at New York.
Who
would play quarterback for the Jets?
That's the next big question, right? Are you messing around in free agency, or are you looking at this group of college guys that were arguing, where are they? Are they 5 to 10? Are they, you know, they're picking.
What did you tell Woody?
What I just said, we have a lot of work to do here, because you know, because there is a free agent out there that's at the top of the free agent list that might not come there, right? Because he's been there before, isn't that correct?
Sam Darnold,
right?
Yeah, a long history with Sam Darnold.
Let's ask Tom Brady. You were around a lot in New England. Now he's sort of got this unique role as a broadcaster and a minority owner of the Raiders. Knowing the way Tom Brady's mind works, do you think he will have success as a team builder?
I do. I think Tom is so driven. Tom is one of those guys that has such an acute eye for football and developing. Having been around Bill, but also having been at Michigan, like he has a really, really good understanding. I don't know what your assessment was of him as an announcer, but
he improved throughout the season. That's the assessment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think he's a perfectionist, or whatever we call that these days. He's going to drive himself to be the best. He's going to surround himself with the right people. Team of teams idea. I think that's a big part of what he's going to do. And we'll be interested to see. I like Spytek. I mean, he's got a great reputation around.
Yeah, John Spytek.
Yeah, John does, around the league. A lot of people have been pulling for him. Those are good guys when they finally get their opportunity to be a GM. And I think it's going to be a good fit.
Yeah, Spytek kind of sounds like something that the Patriots would have used to spy on Peyton Manning or something. But no, John Spytek, he played with Brady in Michigan. Last one for you, Thomas Dimitroff here, football operations for Sumer Sports. And it's a company that you believe in full-heartedly, and it does great work. What's Belichick's record going to be his first season at North Carolina?
Wow. I'm. By the way, you think he probably picks up the phone for 20 seconds, talks to the uncle, and will recruit the heck out of anyone, right? Most people think, wow, is Bill really going to be the recruiting aficionado? But I think, to answer your question, I just really think they're going to turn it around there. I think he's got that ability.
What does
to
that
do
mean? College football playoff?
No. Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Will he be there long enough to turn it around?
If he were to be there long enough, I think he could. I really do. I believe that. I think people are going to clamor to hang out and try to get him to get them to the pros and maximize his ability.
All right. We're out of time, but why are the Eagles going to win this Super Bowl? I'm an Eagles fan. I was going to say, what's your pick?
Not a biased question.
What's your pick, and why is it that you like the Eagles so much? My Eagles.
Look, I love the way Howie builds a football team. Oh. And everything there, there's grit there. Not just because of the city. Just everything about where they're playing right now. I think everything is operating so well. And I think they go in. And, you know, our Sumer brain, we have an AI brain right now. And it's saying that the edge is going to Philly. So for whatever that's worth. That's not Thomas Dimitroff saying that.
Send that directly to
Philly,
Kansas City.
Like a lot of teams, is a heavy analytic team, right?
Yeah, they're on top of it. Yeah. And also, but Howie's a tough guy, right? I always said, when Howie will hear whether I vote against him or not. Brett Veach doesn't care as much. So if I'm gonna pick one way or another, Howie, you know, I think it's going to be really, really close. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Howie, because you're listening.
That's right.
Thomas Dimitroff again, president of football operations at Sumer Sports. This is always a treat for us to get to talk with
you
anytime we can. You make us smarter.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much.
Okay, let's turn our attention to Andrew Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us on this fine Tuesday. What's up, folks?
Guys, I thought we were all friends here. When was someone going to tell me that Jalen Brunson and the Knicks are this good?
A minute remaining. Brunson at three. Bam! Jalen Brunson does it again! Timeout Rockets!
Mike Breen on MSG TV. Brunson scored 17 fourth quarter points, 42 total, plus 10 assists in a 124-118 win over the Rockets. who led by 11 through 3 at the Garden. Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau.
There was a determination by everybody out there to get it done. So there was great communication. There was hustle. People were connected. And when that happens, good things come from that.
And now the Rockets have their first three-game losing streak of the season. Manny, is this why you're wearing Knicks stuff today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm shocked that it took you, 3.5 hours to get to it. But, whatever.
Not a coincidence. The Blazers are the Knicks of the West. They've won four straight, 8-9, 121-119 over the Suns in OT last night. DeAndre Ayton, 25 points, 20 boards. Do that, Brunson, against his old team. Devin Booker became the Suns' all-time leading scorer in defeat. Nikola Jokic, another triple-double, 27 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists in a 125-113 Nuggets win over the Pelicans. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 34 as the Thunder posted a 125-96 win over the Bucks, who did not have Giannis or Dame or Chris Middleton or Brooke Lopez. And the Grizzlies outscored the Spurs 128-109 in a game that started 45 minutes late because of a medical emergency involving a fan in the front row. Once the Super Bowl is over, Eagles OC Kellen Moore is free to become the Saints head coach. Fox tried to get something out of him last night, asking if he likes the Superdome.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. I like it.
when talking to
sounds like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, or me. When talking to reporters later on, Moore said a little more about meeting with GM Mickey Loomis.
Great experience meeting with Mickey and the rest of that leadership group. And so obviously had two opportunities to meet with them. Obviously now the focus is on this game, and then we'll let that situation play itself out after.
That, of course, from Super Bowl opening night in New Orleans. As we know, the Saints are the last team looking for a head coach this cycle. Rams passing game coordinator Nick Caley is the Texans' new OC. Major League Baseball fired on Pat Hoberg, one of the best they have yesterday, after a gambling investigation and a drawn-out arbitration process. Hoberg did not bet on or influence games, but shared a gambling account with a friend who did bet on baseball. And on top of that, they both deleted messages and apps they used to talk about their gambling once the investigation started. Hoberg can apply for reinstatement a year from now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be that person, but it just... Okay, so the umpire, Pat Hoberg,
yeah,
is sharing an online gambling account with a known poker player who's also betting on baseball, yet they can definitively say that he did not supply any information and that he didn't help this guy place any bets. Like, how have you... I know that there are some major safeguards in place.
Yes.
I totally get that. But I don't know. Like, it just seems a little too... And they deleted all these text messages. Like, it's just a little too much for me to take at face value.
Yeah,
and all those messages from someone named Ipe that got deleted, what's that about, folks?
Well, I guess I'll say this in their defense. According to MLB, the amount of money bet and won were regular sums. No one won tens of millions of dollars. Nobody, I guess, won weirdly successful huge bets. So if you just look at the paperwork, so to speak, it doesn't look like they were taking advantage of things, but the deleting of text is a hard thing for me to get past.
So we all remember the Tim Donaghy basketball scandal, right? Mm-hmm. He was the disgraced referee who says he never actually bet on games, but he was providing information, betting information, to other people, and some of them were like known mob people, okay?
Right.
What I learned from that is he had this like not that complicated communication system of how he would tell people which game to bet on. So I'm wondering if maybe the DraftKings account, again, I realize this is a little bit of a theory, the DraftKings account, they could have said, okay, here's the code. If I bet 50 cents on so-and-so to win, that means I'm really telling you something else. Do you get what I'm saying?
So there's like a bigger web of people that are like taking cues from?
No. I'm saying like if you really think that the, I'm trying to think of a way that this could work. Like if you want to bet on, you're telling me that the Seattle Mariners something something, you actually are placing a small bet on the Seattle Sounders or a small bet, like it's a signaling. No, guys, you gotta think like criminals,
I'm sorry, we're not.
Yeah. Do you want to be international masterminds, or do we just want to sit here talking to each other about plane farts? Can we get a little sharper, everybody?
Like, as you all know, the code, when you say Mariners, really means put $14 on the Houston Texans. What?
I'm just saying, if we want to get an edge, we're
How
all going to
How much alligator dung did you snort yesterday?
Listen, Perloff shoes smell like alligator poop. I don't know.
Folks, I'm having trouble with the internet here, so I'm trying to form a joke.
So is Maggie.
Yeah, I'm having trouble to form a joke about whether this guy is brothers of Fred Hoiberg, the former Bulls coach.
No, there's an eye.
Yeah, I know, but my internet's not helping. So that's what I got. Maggie's offering legit gambling advice.
You're telling me that they're sharing a DraftKings account, but there was nothing funny going on. Like, I'm sorry. I think they're saying nothing funny is going on because they want to try to keep the public faith in the sport.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, we all agree with
you. And they went with an elaborate scheme, like all criminals do. Yeah.
If
and they
I
got
win
caught.
Twice.
But I just think, just saying it was an elaborate scheme. Stop trying to explain the scheme.
Well, I took some liberties. I want to really paint the picture for people. Yeah.
No, I know, but if it's elaborate by detail, it's hard to communicate.
Yeah. So yeah, what Donaghy used to do, he would call this guy, and if they would say, so is Bill going out tonight, or is he staying at home tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Out meant the away team, and in meant the home team, or whatever. Oh. Yeah, guys, come on. Read.
The Eagles
stories. Read stories about a horrible criminal.
Read stories or grow up in Binghamton, New York, where you're undoubtedly connected. Like, I don't know. A lot of this feels a little too familiar, Maggie Gray.
I mean, listen.
If that is your name.
I didn't get enough vitamin D up there, that's for sure. Okay, folks, thank you.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Thank you.
I would wave goodbye to you, but our Zoom's no longer working. Yeah. Okay,
I'm
going to
go
thanks.
Win money with your betting ideas.
How many MLB umpires do you know?
Fred Hoiberg, not related.
You dragged him into this
Glad
thing.
Glad settled.
The mayor. Isn't he the mayor?
He is the mayor.
Yeah. Or is that, Sean Casey, also former MLB player, the mayor, who did not bet on games, just to be clear.
San Diego Chicken also on the up and up.
You keep dragging these people in. Yes, I tried to say the San Diego Chicken got me too'd.
Yeah.
Turns out I was dead wrong.
Maggie tried to cancel the San Diego Chicken. Mm.
I didn't try to cancel him. I just thought he was canceled. Big difference.
Yeah.
Says my lawyer.
Inappropriate contact with the Philly fanatic.
Can't grope that fur. Everyone knows it. Okay, lots more to do, including with Saquon Barkley throwing shade at one of his best friends. We'll tell you next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Poll question for you. Do you think the Chiefs benefit from an officiating bias? We're holding steady. 74% say yes. Definitely not good for the NFL, but Perloff, this is a great opportunity here for your Eagles.
Yeah, because now the officials are aware of this storyline, and I think they're going to give the Eagles a call or two.
Well, I wasn't saying that necessarily. I don't think two wrongs make a right on this whole thing. I'm saying that this idea that to beat the Chiefs, you got to beat the Chiefs and the officials has always kind of been, with every good team, really. Like, you really got to be the best to beat the champs. It can't come down to, a play here or there. You leave it up to the officials, it's probably not going to go your way. Mm-hmm. But if you are able to beat the Chiefs, it's almost like you did this impossible thing. Like, not only were you playing one of the best teams that we've ever seen in the NFL in terms of dynasties, but you also may have had the officials going against you, and despite all those long odds, you were the Giant Slayers. How about that?
Yeah, nah.
No, you don't care?
No, I don't think the Eagles are defining themselves against the Chiefs that much. I don't think the Eagles think they're going against history. For some reason, my vibe, when I hear the Eagles talk, they seem somewhat oblivious to the three-peat topic. I don't feel like they're viewing history. And I imagine when you're in an NFL season, you're so focused on the job ahead that I'm not hearing a ton of man to beat the Chiefs and knock them off the three-peat. Am I missing something? Maybe, because I think that they have so much going on with themselves with this kind of wild head coach of Nick Sirianni and the Saquon Barkley year, and do you trust Jalen Hurts and these defensive killers? So I don't know that they're measuring themselves against the Chiefs. Maybe I'm naive on this one.
Can we revisit this after the game? because I think that if the Eagles win,
yeah,
I think you're going to hear a lot of, we weren't going to let them get the three-peat. So can we just revisit that?
Okay.
Before the game, you're not going to give bulletin
that
board
could
material.
Be, that could be exactly totally. Why. I'm not hearing a lot of them say, we're not going to let them three-peat. You know what they everyone says in the Super Bowl locker room? It's always the same thing. They never thought we were going to be here.
Yeah.
And even the Chiefs. After
even the Chiefs will say, no one believed in us.
Yeah, like I remember one year the Steelers were actually like holding up predictions from a preseason magazine that had them in third place or something. They love that. Nobody believed in us. Like Patrick Mahomes is going to get up there and be like, yeah, we're the little team that could. No one saw this coming.
No, I don't think they can. There was once the Georgia Bulldogs, I think, were coming off the title and someone picked them to win six games. I'm like, I don't even think this was real. It's like a fake burner account probably from one of the assistant coaches.
Also, the Eagles are kind of like a lot of young players who I don't know. Like, does Cooper DeJean know anything about the three-peat or Quinyon Mitchell? They don't feel like they're steeped in NFL history. They just got here.
So last night, opening night, with both teams meeting the media, Jameis Winston is now part of the media. He was doing some work for Fox Sports, and he was asking a question to Saquon Barkley, trying to find himself, Jameis, that is, a new job.
Hey, one more question, Saquon. One more question. In this free agency, man, I'm a free agent. I don't really don't got no job. Who should sign me in free agency?
I think New York needs a little bit right now.
New York who? Okay, brother.
I mean, Jameis to go with New York who, just to leave no doubt. Yes, he was talking about the Giants.
The horse
yes,
is prepared for battle.
Yeah.
But victory comes from the Lord.
They need a quarterback. And Perloff, this is clearly shade at the Giants. And Saquon is, I'm sure, reveling in the fact that he gets to keep dunking on Manny's New York Giants. But a little bit of backhand towards Daniel Jones. And
no.
I thought these guys were boys. Yes,
no.
It is.
No, it's purely about the I disagree with you. My read is it's about the Giants who don't have Daniel Jones anymore. I think
yes, exactly. They
no,
chose
I think he's
wrong.
Like, well, I think Saquon's like, you let my guy go. More likely that he's like, you let my guy go, now you don't have a quarterback. And also just in reality is they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, that's one read.
Daniel Jones is a Viking.
I think that the read was Daniel Jones, and this is why it's funny, because they actually are friends in real life, Jones and Barkley. But this is, if Daniel Jones had played better, Perloff, he'd still be the quarterback of the Giants.
That's not what Saquon was saying. That's definitely, that was not a rip at Saquon Barkley. That was a rip at the New York Football Giants franchise.
And by extension, his friend. It's a rare slip up from Barkley, because he's pretty much perfect.
You're the only one, nobody's thinking that was a rip at Daniel. Daniel Jones is a Viking.
Wait, well, EJ, so can
you're
it
with
be,
me.
Yeah, I'm more with Maggie. Now, I think it probably was more
Say
of an unintended stray. like he wanted to get after the Giants, but like in order to get after the Giants, he had to hit his boy.
He didn't hit his boy because he's not a Giant. He's a Minnesota Viking.
Why
that's
is
the
he a
point.
Viking?
That's
is
literally
he,
the point.
Is because he a Viking because he played great?
So the Giants in the summer get rid of Saquon, and then in the fall they give up on Daniel Jones. I'm sure Saquon didn't like that either.
No, but Saquon Barkley didn't get cut because or let go because he wasn't good. They let him go because they didn't want to pay him.
It's yeah,
totally
I'm sure he thinks that Daniel Jones like was not given a fair shot in New York, if he really is his buddy. I don't think – I mean, obviously, the Giants are a mess way beyond Daniel Jones. Nobody's even thinking that Daniel Jones sunk the Giants. Everyone thinks the Giants front office is a disaster right now, right? Like, does anybody think they're going to make the right decision here?
Well, no. Of course you can point to the front office. They're the ones who paid Daniel Jones. They gave him a chance, and he was bad, and now he's on another team. And Saquon Barkley said they have an opening, and that was the first team he went to. How does Daniel Jones not take that as a diss?
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost positive that was not meant to be a diss at Daniel Jones.
Well, maybe he didn't mean it, but it definitely was. It definitely was.
I mean, if Daniel Jones was still there, then yeah, that would be a diss. But this is a team that cut Daniel Jones. I don't know.
Because he was bad and hurt and bad.
I'm pretty sure I know who Saquon's issue is with. And it ain't, I think he is not happy with Joe Shane.
No, well, we all saw that play out on national television.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley.
For sure. Okay, update in the poll results. Do you think the Chiefs benefit from an officiating bias? 74% say yes. And I don't know. We met with Thomas Dimitroff, who is works for an analytic company. He's giving the edge to the Eagles. Did that make you feel better?
Well, I forced him into it. No,
the numbers are the numbers.
No, I do think a lot of people think the Eagles are more talented. That doesn't mean anything against Patrick Mahomes. It means nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm not saying Thomas's prediction doesn't mean anything, but the Eagles might have an analytic edge, and all that kind of goes away with 3 minutes left in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Because the Bills, same thing. Like, it's not like you...
What was that take?
The Bills were not favored in the game.
Who's the person who said that the Eagles have to destroy them to beat them? Phil Sims?
Chris Sims.
Chris Sims? Yeah, like if it's the problem, if it's your close game, there's something about the Chiefs that they know how to win those games.
Thank you, DJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to our boy Frank, our guy, making sure we sound good, doing a great job. Thank you to Thomas Dimitroff. Thank you to Mike Jones. And thank you to the people at Kleber and Sons Gator Tours. Wow, were you great hosts.